Okay, here we go. So we, what is it? Today is the 30th of October, 2018, the 21st of Marcheshvan Tafshin Ayin Tes, and we turn to Lisser Day of Parag Vav of Bamidbar, Parshas Naso, the section dealing with the Nazir, as well as the Birchas Kohanim, and we'll cover something, a little bit from each today. So the Gemara tells us the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, so we also, besides the regular standard Sfarim, they've actually come out with Sfarim on Chumash recently. So they have he has a piece that discusses the issue of the Nazir. He opens up with an interesting Gemara. Really, it's a description of a pasuk in Kohelas, the Rama Rami Bar Chama. What does the pasuk mean? Ir ketana v'anashim. That there is a description of a small town that is described in Koheles. It's a three pesukim in Koheles. That a small town existed there. All of a sudden, the king surrounded it and laid it under siege. And then there was an old chacham that was living in the town that was able to figure out a way to defeat the siege. The siege was defeated, and then they forgot about the chacham. So what's going on there? What's that? And then they forgot about him. So what's that description? So the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis describes what does it mean, Irkatan Vanashim? Irkatan is Zehaguf Vanashim Ba Ma'at Eluwe Varm. That the small city is the body, and the people that live there, those are the limbs of the body. I mean, if you're describing a person. And then the king comes along and lays siege upon the small city. That's referring to the Eitzahara. And they built these towers around it, meaning that's part of the siege. So those are the sins. And the person that was in there, the elderly person who was able to give advice, that's the Yetzer Tov. And he was able to save the town. That's referring to Tshuva Maisim Tovim. And then the people forgot that person. At the time, when the Yetzer comes, though, often they don't remember the Yetzer Tov. I mean, the next time, they're not going to necessarily recall that which happened the last time. Meaning, at the end, they were able to defeat, they were able to do tshuva. I mean, it's referring to the tshuva that was done after the Avera. But what about during the Avera? So at that point, they don't remember the Yetzer Tov. So how does one perhaps discuss a strategy in order to overcome this, in order that at the time of challenge, that one does recall the Yetzer Tov, that one is able to defeat the Yetzer Hara. So there is the famous Gemara that we discussed a couple, 2 days ago, well, not 2 days ago, but on Mefarshim Day, the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, where it describes Shmuel HaTzadik, the Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik didn't partake of the Nazirah's offerings, because he was always suspicious that it wasn't really brought appropriately. The person really regretted that they were being enough. Except for one time, Pamachas ba'adam echad. And one time, this a person came nazir min hadarom ve'isiv shehu yafei naim. So he was beautiful. V'tov ra'i, he looked good. V'kavutzosav seduros lo tatalim, and he had locks of hair. So Marti lo bini mari islahashis es sharcha zehana. Why did you see that you want to get rid of this beautiful hair? So Amarli roa isi lava beiri lachti limlos mai mina mayim. That I was once watching my father's flocks, and I went to retrieve one from water. I went to fill up water from the brook, from the spring. Bini stakalti biboa shali. I saw my reflection. Upachas ela yitzri uvikish l'tudan mina olam. And a fear overcame. Came me, and the Yitzhar got to me and wanted me to destroy him from the world. So that person, right, he gave the he saw the Yetzirah is seizing him. That is like he's in the seizure. So Bik, and he wanted to send me out from the world. That it was a sakanas nefasha. So how do you resolve this problem? So the Gemara continues on and says, in order to overcome the Yetzirah, I yelled out to the Yetzirah, Martilo Rasha Lama Tamiskal Biolam Sheinu Shalacha. Why are you bothering in a world that isn't yours? B'mishu Asid Lios Rama Vitola. That a person who is in the future going to be consumed by maggots, consumed by worms and maggots. I mean, why are you bothering with me? So what is he attempting to do at that time? So it seems, a little troubled understanding exactly what the time is, but his the Sifsei Chaim explains it as, in order to save the Yetzer Hara, sometimes you have to, like, shock it, right? Like, to demonstrate the falsity of what it's trying to do. Meaning, what's the Yetzer Hara attempting to do? It's trying to make whatever avera you're attempting to do, that which has generally have to do with things in Olam Hazeh, demonstrating how important Olam Hazeh is, and show how chashiv Olam Hazeh this world is, and look how much benefit you can get from this world. So he's trying to tell the Yetzer Hara, what are you bothering with me in this world? It's really not important. I know that it's really not important. And why are you bothering with me? In the future I'm going to be consumed by worms. In the future I'm going to be nothing. So you see, Yetzer Hara, or I'm recognizing you, to you, right, that there's really no point in dealing in this world. And that's his way of defeating the Yetzer Hara. So havoda and therefore I will now shave to Shemayim. I will cut off my hair. So therefore I will cut off my hair. He continues, and I will give that over to Shemayim. What is he attempting to do with that statement? What is he trying to demonstrate? Right. So that which seems to give me chashivas in this world, those things that I have been given here, which is supposed to show, look how much you could benefit from this world, and that those assets which I have, in this case his hair, because his hair is what makes him beautiful, I'm hereby willing to give that over to Shemayim. Right, I have been given things that are chashuv, that are important in this world, or are seemingly important. But guess what? All of those things I am going to dedicate towards Hashem, and that's his answer. Meaning, because of this beauty, I realize this world is meaningless, and those things which seem to be meaningful in this world, I want to give over to Shemayim. I want to give over to Hashem. So at that point, Shimon HaTzadik records the end of the story. Miyat amarti v'nishkasi v'al rosha. Immediately I stood up and I kissed him on his head. V'marti lo b'ni kamocha yarbu nizirai nizirus Yisrael. Like you, there should be more nizirus in the world. So what is this? What is this kiss? So, well, he could have kissed him on the head. Why did he kiss him on the head? He kissed him on the head. Well, because that's where the hair is. But he, you know, that he's giving over. But besides that, he suggests that haroshu makom hagavoa b'yom. That the head is referencing the top of the person, the height of the person. So therefore, because this person was willing to take that which is the highest thing, that which is the most chashuv thing in this world, and give that over, so therefore he's kissing him in that spot, right? That you're dedicating your importance to Hashem. And that, perhaps, he suggests, is the way to defeat the Yetzer Hara. Not just that we stay away from bad, rather we fill the heart with Torah Kedusha, do good, and if that's the case, then there's not going to be an opening for the Yetzer Hara to attack. Okay, so that is the piece of the Sifsei Chaim. What's your problem?
I must be completely confused about why someone becomes a Nazir in the first place. Because I thought, maybe it's me, that became a Nazir to respond to the fact that you did all these mean and nasty things.
Right.
Right.
So he's suggesting that Yetzer Hara is taking initiative. The Yetzer Hara is not just, now I'm going to avoid wine, and therefore I'm not going to go to any party, and therefore I'm going to avoid these types of probe. I'm going to avoid situations. So he's saying, no, there's an active part to it as well, that you are hereby sanctifying yourself towards Hashem, or sanctifying yourself towards good
by
deeds.
By becoming a Nazir,
yeah.
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 So that's, aren't you fighting the Yetzer Hara at that point? I mean, when you're becoming it, when you're in being a Nazir, I mean...
Correct, but the fact that he is demonstrating that he's dedicating that which makes him chashuv towards Hashem, so that's enough to keep that's a better fortification than just constantly saying no all the time. I think that's what he is. I mean, it's a positive reflection in his ears rather than just focusing on negative aspects of it.
What I was going with.
Okay.
It was all negative. Okay,
all right. All right.
I'm getting there.
Sam?
It's in Corellus. It's in all his vanity. And he's kind of reacting to that.
Okay.
It's the same kind of cluster.
All right. Good. All right. So the so to continue along on that theme, so the Shemen HaTov has an interesting ha'ara that we know that there are various prohibitions that a nazir has to overtake. Right. The three main three things are no wine or grape products. Don't cut the hair until you do cut the hair, and right, not to become tamei lames. So there's the pasuk talks about. Right, we, in our order of the parak, so we talk about the things that are prohibited. Then it talks about what you do if you become tame, right? And then it talks about how to overcome the other things. So what is that halach? Does that mean that that's like the worst of the things that they could do? Is that the best of the things that they could do? Well, why is that the violation that is described specifically in the psukim? Yeah,
is that the last one that's listed?
What do you mean the last
sometimes,
one?
I mean, sometimes it goes in order. If you go 1, 2, 3, then you respond 3, 2, 1.
That's the only one listed. It doesn't talk about interrupting your naziris for the other things. Okay. And there's a good reason for that, because it doesn't interrupt it. They actually have three different halachos with regards to it. We ran into this problem, so I looked it up. It is a mission of the Seches Nazir that this talks about the different way, how those three prohibitions are different from one another. So the halacha is that if one accidentally has a grape product during the time of the Naziris, so what have you done? You violated your prohibition. What is the effect of that? So nothing. You just continue on with the Naziris. What about if a person cuts their hair during the Naziris? So there, also no effect. You have to wait 30 days, meaning you have to have at least another 30 days in order for there to be considered growth for shaving it off at the end. The only thing that really interrupts it, and therefore actually says that you need to start again, although there's still a machlokas about some of the details of that, but the only thing you need to start again is the issue of tumah lames. The tumah lames is the one exception to that. So why is that?
The hair, you just said you have to wait 30 days. Isn't that starting again?
Not necessarily.
Well,
it depends how long your Naziris period is for.
Right.
So if you're doing a 1 year Naziris period, starting Tishrei, and in Cheshvan you cut your hair, oh, I forgot! So then nothing changes, but you'll have at least 30 days until you shave it off.
You have to wait at least 30 days.
No. I don't believe so. The wait of 30 days is if it's at the end. I mean, if you shave and you...
Okay.
Right, then you need to perhaps extend it because there needs to be growth for the shaving at the end. But other than that, I don't believe you need to wait. Okay. So why is it that Tumas Mace seems to have this this seeming chumrah that you have to start over? So the Shemen HaTov explains. The tumas meis loba dafka al yidei atzmo el af ba'onis. The tumas meis doesn't necessarily come by. Well, actually, you know, if you get that line. So, the idea that tumas sosers kol yimei nazir sarach biro. Delama yehei shon mishdiya. Why is it different than drinking wine? Umuchrach lomer tumas meis he stir legamri leetzem nazirus. That the tumas meis, this idea of becoming impure to the dead, is a complete contradiction to the idea of nazirus. V'hainu mishum de ikr kedushas ha nazirus hu ma de mekabel ma'atzma lios muchrach mitanugi olam hazeh. The idea of nazirus is to raise yourself spiritually such that you are not benefiting from this world, that you're sort of leaving your goof behind, and that you're able to connect to the spiritual world. Therefore, you're in a situation where the Shechina can dwell upon you, as opposed to Tumas Meis, which Tumas Meis is very much about this world. That Tumas Meis comes along from the sin of the Adam Rishon by the Eitz Hadas, that you're excluding the Shechina. It doesn't matter whether the Tumah comes to you either way. It's the encounter with it that is the complete opposite of Naziris, and therefore you would be required to start again. That is the distinction that is made. That it's not necessarily about the Chomer HaIsser. It's not necessarily about how difficult the prohibition is. In fact, there's a Rambam. I'm not sure if the Rambam is disputed or not, but the Rambam says, let's say a Kohen is walking along with a Nazir. two of them are walking along and they come across a dead body. So you know that there is an exception to the rule that if you come across a meis mitzvah, so you both the nazir and the kohen gadol, they would violate their prohibition in order to involve themselves with the meis mitzvah. They're not violating the meaning that's what they need to do. That's what they're called to do on at that point. So you would be able to call it a sin, but yet nevertheless the effect is still going to play. The effect is still going to be that the nazirus is going to have to restart. The nazir is still going to have to restart his nazirus. So, okay. It's an onis, okay.
So why should I have to restart?
Because that's the idea. That's what he's trying to say. That it's not about the prohibition. It's about the attitude. It's about that. That's just the fact. The fact is that mace is completely anathema to a nazir, and therefore you would have to restart. That's just the way it is. So he actually has the halach. What about if a kohen, a regular kohen, a plain kohen? Let's say Yisrael is walking along with the Nazir. The Nazir say, oh, this is my chance. I can finally get in touch with the dead. No, obviously Yisrael would do it rather than the Nazir. What about if it's a Kohen, even a regular Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, walking along with the Nazir, who would then involve themselves with the mace? So says the Rambam, the Nazir. The Nazir, because the Rambam is Kedushas Olam, while a Nazir is only Kedushas, it's only a temporary thing. So even though he has a stronger prohibition, there's more restrictions on the Nazir, and there will be more an effect on the Nazir, still he's considered to be the one that's going to come in touch with the Mace. So this is part of his idea, the Shemen HaTov, that it's not about the Chomer HaIsser, it's not about not about the strength of the prohibition, rather it is about just the reality of coming in touch with the mace. One more thought on the Shemen HaTov with regards to the Nazir. And that is, these are both found in volume 4, and that is, this is something probably in the back of our minds, we learned the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, right? That the Rambam seems to say that being a Nazir is not such a good idea, which is why he brings a Chatas at the end. Maybe it's a necessary evil, one might say. I don't know, evil is a little bit of a buzzword. A necessary remedy, as opposed to the Ramban that seems to say that it's a good thing. So assuming that it's a good thing, so the Ramban says, well, therefore you bring a Chatas at the end, because you are now ending your period of a good thing. You're going back to the way you were before. So that's the Shemen HaTov. I don't understand. Why is the Nazir bringing Korban Chatas? At least he went up, right? Let's say that is the case, that you're going up to a high level, now you're coming down. So you bring a Chatas for coming down. Well, isn't it better to go up and come down than not to go up at all? So why is it that a regular Jew doesn't have to bring a Chatas for not becoming a Nazir in the first place? So you suggest that, yeah, that's the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktikim Tzadikim Chuchut Asara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very careful, specific, watches very carefully the tzaddikim, and such that even their lesser prohibitions will seem to be a bigger deal. That when people go up to a higher level, with a higher level comes a higher responsibility, and therefore there could be negative effects to that, to a higher level as well. That's in the spiritual world, and I would say also in the real world, that when people that are in a higher or display themselves at least to be on a higher spiritual level, and they have a downfall. So the effects of that are much far greater than if they were never had achieved that status in the first place. Okay, so those are a couple of nuzzier issues.
Now to get on to the
Okay, and now to get on to a yesod, a very interesting idea I found when it comes to Birchas Kohanim. So if it came across this is actually in the introduction to Rabbi Mordechai Willig's first sefer, right? This is the one on Brachos, yeah. So his first sefer, Am Mordechai, Am Maseches Brachos, so this is his introduction, that he gets into the issue of Birchas Kohanim, and part of it we quoted already. We quoted from Rashi, how does Rashi understand the first line of Birchas Kohanim? Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, that Hashem will bless you and protect you. So what does Rashi there say? Yivarecha Hashem is referring to money, right? V'yishmerecha, and you're going to be saved. What does Rashi say there? Do you have it? Min hamazikin, Rashi says, from demons, that you're going to get money and you're going to be saved from demons. Yeah. So what's going on here? So, because the v'yishmerecha isn't the bracha on its own, el shmira al berchas yivarechecha, meaning you're protected, you get the bracha, whatever bracha you get as yivarechecha, so, and then you are protected in that And that you are protected, that you'll be able, that the money is not going to be damaged. We could add on that also that a person won't be damaged by the birchas hamamon. That a person could get the blessing of money. This is very relevant now in case anybody here wins the mega, whatever it's called, the mega
Mega Millions
lottery. Right, it's like $1 billion or something, or half a billion.
It's one.
Someone won. Oh, the South Carolina thing won the whole thing. Weren't there two going on at the same time?
Two different lotteries, but they've both been won.
They both were won.
Oh, any members of our shul?
Nothing.
Okay.
We're checking. Okay.
So, anyways.
Living for a donation, that's what they say.
$1.6 billion. So the Yishal hosted in Shmir. I didn't say there was like a machlokas I heard about how much it was. Like they, I heard one
cash,
ratio.
Cash value was $1 billion.
Oh, you're saying it's unclear whether it's this. It's like 1.6 or 1.4. That's a lot of money to be lost. But anyways, so Yishal hosted in Shmir Meula Kedisha Adam Lo Yiskal Adam Adei Berachas Mamon. But a person should be careful. We're diving to Hashem, A, that we should be given that type of security, well, not necessarily that type of security, but some amount of monetary security, but also that we're not going to be damaged because of that security which we've been granted. And we all know that there's stories of people that win the lottery and their lives get destroyed, etc., etc. So that's the first bracha, which is Beferish in the Rishonim. Next, you can consider, we'll says you could explain the rest of the bracha along those same lines as well. Yeah, Er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, that Hashem should enlighten your face. Er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka, you shall have chen, that you shall have a matter of beauty or of kindness to it. So what is Ye'er Hashem Panav Elecha? So he suggests that Birchas Ye'er Panav, that's referring to the Birchas HaTorah, that we ask Hashem for Hatzlacha, for help in learning. Right, that is an appropriate thing to do. We ask, you know, can I still be able to be Matzliach with this learning? I think I told this, there was a story here about Rav Shimon Shkaf, that Rav Shimon Shkaf was a bachur in yeshiva, so he was sitting late at night, he was like an 11-year-old kid, dirt poor, and Rav Chaim Volozhin came, not sorry, the Netziv, came and found him in the Beis Medrash, and he was crying. They said, why are you crying, young boy? And he said, because I can't understand this Rashbam. Mm-hmm. And the Netziv said to him, I said, ah, that Rashbam, when I came across there, I didn't understand it either, and I went and I davened by the kever of Chaim Volozhiner for Hatzlach and understanding that Rashbam. If you want to know which one it is, I could tell you. I have it written down. It's in right. So the story is in one of the Magid books, and I was able to find someplace what the which Rashbam it is. But anyways, so there is an idea of davening for Hatzlacha and learning. But yet, when one is Matzliach, they still need the idea of Chen. They still need the idea of beauty. They still need the idea not to seem rough around the edges to people, not to seem intimidating to people, but that they seem kind and nice and with a smile. All of those kinds of things that go together. So that is the second bracha. That Hashem should give me Hatzlacha and learning, but yet I should still be good to people. I should still be nice. I should still be able to have to demonstrate the glory of Torah through that learning. And then when finally gets to the last part, Yisah Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom, that the Birchas Yisah Hashem Panav Sheyischabru Shnei Hainyanim HaKadumim B'yachad, that we should be able to connect the two things together. Yisah Hashem Panav Elecha, Hashem should and have them be in peace. We should be able to take the Hatzlacha in bracha, the bracha of money, put it together with the Hatzlacha of learning, and be able to have a balanced life, be able to put the two of them together, bishalom. That there is a danger in people being able to have one and not the other, or not them not being able to work together. So we hope that we add on that there should be peace. Dainu shalom nafshi b'pnimi. Inner peace should siruf shteha brachas ba'atzmo yele bracha v'lo l'kal, that the connection, the combination of the two brachas together should be a bracha and not for a curse. So that is how he understands the idea of the three brachas. And then he continues on and says, and what is the bracha that we give to children? So besides giving those words as a bracha that we give to children, we also give them the bracha of Yisimcha, at least the boys, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim V'chim Menashe. Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. So what is Ephraim and what is Menashe? What do the two sides represent? So Ephraim represents the idea of learning, And Menashe represents the idea of Gashmias, right? Those two. Menashe was the worker and Ephraim was the learner. So the Netziv said, what happened when Yaakov was there? So they get placed in front of Yaakov, right? Menashe is on his right, Ephraim is on his left, and he crosses his arms so that his hands go on Ephraim and on Menashe. So ask the Netziv, why didn't he just shift them around? Right? Why didn't he just say, okay, no, sorry, Ephraim, you nudge over. Menashe, you nudge over. Why did he insist on crossing on his arms? Just because, no, there's also a bracha for Menashe as well. The Menashe was going to be on the right side, below, meaning below the arm. He's raising his hands above his shoulders, but the bottom part of that part that represents Gashmis, we're going to still put Menashe in charge. There's still going to be a bracha that's going to be needed for Menashe in order to be successful. However, with regards to Ephraim, that about Minyanim Ruchniim, there Ephraim rises above Menashe. And we see that Ephraim is the one who learned Torah in the Beis Medrash of Yaakov, Yosef, and he's the one who told Yosef that Yaakov was sick, and Rashi explains, Shev Yaakov Amar El Ephraim, V'ulam Achiv HaKaton Yigdal Emendu, T'chavon Es HaYisal Yehoshu, T'kad Shekabel Es HaTorah Mimoshe Rabbeinu, V'yatal Muvek, that Yehoshua's connection to Moshe was that of one who was receiving Torah. V'nira. So this is Ray Willig's paragraph. And you can even find this in their names, that Yosef Karlo Bechoro Menashe Ki Nashni Elokim Eskom Aliv Eskol Beis Avi. I'm sorry, then he continues on and says that with regards to their essence, right, the job of a person who is in the business world, in the physical world, they constantly have to be mechadish. They constantly have to be coming up with new ideas. That, for example, Gidon. When Gidon, how did he win his battle? So he had this great idea. Let's take these bottles, these clay bottles, and we'll smash them and wake everyone up. Great. So he was able to be victorious in that battle. What about if he would do it in the next battle? Right, it wasn't going to work. Right, you constantly have to be coming up with new ideas, as opposed to in the Olam HaTorah, in the world of Torah. While there is an idea of Chiddush, it always has to be based in that which existed previously. So, okay. So then, so you can find that in their names. When Yosef called Menashe, what was the meaning of the word name Menashe? Ki Nashi Elokim Es Kol Meliv Es Kol Beis Avi. That Hashem caused me to forget the challenges in my father's house. I mean, be able to forget and be able to figure out how to concentrate, to be able to build up Mitzrayim and be able to concentrate on the job that I'm going to have at hand. As opposed to the idea of Ephraim, Aval Ephraim Nikra Kenai De Yosef, Ki Hifrani Elokim Be'eretz Aniyi, because Hashem made me fortunate, I think that's what I wrote here, fruitful, in the land of my, in the land of my poverty. The name is fruit. And where do fruits come from? Fruits come from the ground. Fruits come from a background, and they develop in that particular way. So that is the, and then he goes on and talks about how his sefer is going to have chiddush, but it's all going to be based in his rabbanim, etc., etc., etc. But then one more thought with regards to the birchas kohanim. And that is in the Rav thinking aloud on Bamidbar. I didn't know it existed. Someone pointed out to me. And he points out that what's the idea of, he raises the question of, where do we say Birchas Kohanim in our liturgy? And we talked about yesterday about, you know, is it independent of tefillah or not independent of tefillah? That was one of the issues we discussed. But where is it in our liturgy? Where do we put it in our tefillah? It's in the bracha of Hodah. It's in the bracha of praise to Hashem. Right? So I think I never thought about this before. It's a little bit of or thanks to Hashem. Right. It's a little bit of an odd place for it. But what are we asking for? We're asking for something. We're asking for bracha in the things that we just spoke about. So shouldn't it be earlier on in tefillah when we're asking for things as opposed to the part where we thank for things? Right? Anybody else ever had this question? So
what are you asking for?
What?
You're asking...
We're asking Hashem for brachos. So what are those brachos? So we said brachos, yivarecha, is referring to money.
Before money, right?
No. We say it at the end. We say it as part of...
In the middle of thanking or somewhere.
We say atoshim chalachanel lodos, right? Right. Right. Right? So it's right after the thanking bracha.
Right, right.
Or and then we say sim shalom, yeah. So maybe there could be a connection to Shalom. One could suggest that. But it seems to be in the area of Shmoneh Esrei known as Hodah, known as thanks, not in the area known as Bakasha. Right? So the Rav had in a different context, not answering these questions. He points out the Sefer, these are his questions, but perhaps you could use this idea to answer his questions. Then he quotes the Rav talking about a different idea, and that is, why is Birchas Kohanim known as a Davar Shebekdusha? Why is it known as something that requires 10 people to be there? Right? Well, what? Why is it on that list of things that you need to have a minyan present? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Sota that says, that it discusses those psukim, you know, those psukim that appear in the Ars Kol Siddur, where it also says you shouldn't be saying them. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Right? So that debate actually is in the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself has that question of, should you be saying psukim in response to the brachos as they're coming out? And the reason to say that you would is that klum yesh eved shemavarchin oso ve'in mazbir panim. That is there such a thing as an eved, or is it appropriate for a slave to get a bracha from the master and not to give thanks, not to recognize it, just to remain silent? So that is, so the Gemara actually rejects that, meaning that we don't pask in that way. We generally assume that those psukim are really not supposed to be said. But it's not just a bracha from the Kohen, rather it's a bracha that is coming from Hashem. So the mere fact that one is able to get a bracha from Hashem, right, is itself something that we can be thankful for. I mean, it's not just, it's a request that we're making, but we're also recognizing the idea that there is such a thing as bracha. So because we can get a bracha directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have that ability, so therefore that itself is enough to give thanks. But he continues on with one more thought, and that is, he mentioned also yesterday, the Gemara says that one violates a Kohen who doesn't do Birchas Kohanim is in violation of three mitzvahs asays. So what are those three mitzvahs asays? So one is Emor Lehem, another one is Kot Tevarchu. So, by the way, it's a little bit of a problem with that, right? They seem to be saying the same thing. Emor Lehem, say to them, Kot Tevarchu, give them this bracha, seem to be saying the same thing. So the Rav Salvechik interprets, just without even commenting that it's an issue, says one of them is the bracha, is the mitzvah of giving them the bracha, and the second one is that it has to be done be'ava, that it has to be done with love. But then, what's the third mitzvah? V'samu eshemi al b'nei Yisrael, that my name is going to be placed on b'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? What does that mean? So, Asras HaShchina, that means Asras HaShchina, that the Shechina is going to be present. So what is our responsibility when the Shechina is present? So we know that there was a different, by the Mishkan the Shechina was present, but the more clear answer of a response is Vayari Yisrael Siyat HaGdola, that B'nai Yisrael saw the great hand of Hashem by the Kriyas Yamsuf, and how did they respond? By Shira, by thanks. So we see the great hand, we see Hashras Hashchina by the mere fact that it's a Davar Shebekdusha, it's a sanctified thing, right? And therefore our response has to be Shira, our response has to be praise, and that explains the end. Perhaps that even connects the issue of Nazirus to the issue of Birchas Kohanim as well. That what is the Nazir trying to achieve? The Nazir is trying to achieve a connection to the Shechina, and that perhaps is also achieved by the Birchas Kohanim. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Continue, I'm not sure today or tomorrow, but tomorrow or the day after on the topic of Parak Zayin, the Matanos of the Nesivim.